grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today from Luke chapter 10. Let us pray. Lord, you promise that when your word is taught and proclaimed and heard, it will accomplish what you desire it to accomplish. Give us faith, give us the joy of salvation, give us the strength of the Spirit. Bless the preaching, the hearing now of the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. What do you think of when you think of those things? The United States of America. Kind of summarizes the good old USA that we think about this weekend. Most everybody likes baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. I thought about that. You'd be surprised when I read the gospel lesson. For the gospel lesson is kind of like an apple pie gospel lesson. It's one that we all like. It's non-controversial. If there's one topic in the church, which is kind of like an apple pie topic that we all like, that we all agree to, that's a popular topic, it's the topic of missions. I mean, we disagree on things in the church, LCMS and the church as a whole. One thing that's about all Christians agree on is that missions, go make disciples. We got to get the gospel out there. We all pretty much agree on that. And that is the topic of Luke 10. Missions are important to Jesus. Even before he dies and rises, he sends out 72. I don't know the last time we've sent out 72 people. We canvass the neighborhood and about four people show up. Where's the other 68? He sends out 72 to go out and speak peace, the gospel, to prepare his way. It's important to Jesus. Let me talk about this great topic today. I want to talk about four problems that I see in the church today about missions that I believe Jesus addresses in Luke chapter 10. Four obstacles, problems that we have in missions. First of all, we are too pessimistic in missions. Secondly, we are too peaceful. And thirdly, we are often too proud. And last of all, we have way too many programs for mission work. Let me talk about these things today. First of all, often as we consider missions, reaching out with the gospel to Knoxville, USA, the world, often we Christians are pessimistic, and pastors are at the worst of this sometimes. Meaning as we consider the world, three out of four people don't believe in Jesus. There's all sorts of religions, Hinduism, Islam, they're all over out there. Then we consider America, which America seems to be falling more and more into filth and immorality and all of that. We consider Knoxville and our neighbors and our families that might be strained from the Lord. We can easily be pessimistic and say, what's the use? No one believes in God. No one cares about Jesus. They had their chance. The whole world is going to hell, falling into great idolatry and unbelief and immorality. And I see that in my family, I see it in my neighbors, I see it in my world, the United States. I mean, what's the point? It's like the days of Noah. No one believes, no one cares. So why even go out and do missions? We can be very pessimistic. Is anybody going to believe anyway? Anybody going to convert anyway? What's the matter? And I have a hunch that the 72 that are sent out, to a degree, have similar feelings of pessimism. They're sent out to Galilee and the area around there to prepare the way for Jesus. But they must be thinking, well, Lord, you've already been in some of these areas. And many people have rejected you already. Capernaum, Jesus says they're going to go to hell because they've rejected him. And Nazareth, his hometown, rejected him. And the Pharisees are against him largely. The Sadducees don't like him. So what's the point? I mean, you really think the Greeks are going to believe in you or the Romans are going to believe in you when they have all these other gods and all their immorality? I mean, what's the point? Who are we going to save? And the Lord addresses that pessimism very well. His first words after he sends out the 72, the harvest is plentiful. Meaning, church, don't be so pessimistic. The harvest out there is plentiful, which means that God in his mercy, because God loves the whole world, God has prepared the hearts of many, many people for the gospel. He has prepared their hearts in whatever way he does that, through sickness, disease, war, the law, whatever. But there's much good soil out there. We need laborers to plant the seed of the gospel that they may grow and be brought in. But the harvest is plentiful. Many people are ripe to hear. So go. Don't be so pessimistic. There are many that I want to save. I want to save everybody. And there are many that are ready to be saved, so go. I mean, people want hope. We have hope. His name is Jesus. People want joy. We have joy in Jesus. People want love. We have the love of God for this dying world of darkness. The harvest is plentiful. My dad loved to go pick strawberries. Anybody here a strawberry picker? My dad got us boys up about 8 o'clock in the morning, some summer mornings, and we had to go pick strawberries and get like 15, 20 quarts of strawberries. Not just a couple. We had to freeze strawberries, whatever you do with those cotton picking things. I don't know. We had to get strawberries. 8 in the morning, as I look at the strawberry patch, what am I thinking? I don't want to pick strawberries. There's straw that gets all sticky on you. And then there's bugs flying around. And in Illinois, it's humid as can be, as it is here too, I guess. And there's flies. And then you got to work hard. You got to look underneath the leaves and where are they? And we, Dad, there's not going to be no ripe strawberries anyway. They're all white. They're unripe or they're too ripe. They're rotten. There's not going to be any berries anyway. They've been picked over. What might Dad do? Besides scolding us a bit. Go out and pick a quart real quick. Look, there are berries all, look at all the berries. Lift up the leaves. Look at, they're all red. He picked them. Look, I got a half quart already. We can do this real fast. The harvest is plentiful. So get to work. It's hard work, but get to work. And even at that, we were sometimes lazy and didn't want to do it. And the Lord, in a way, is showing us the world. The harvest is plentiful. Look at all the people out there. They're all around you. That are ready to hear. I prepared their hearts. They're good soil. Don't be so pessimistic and lazy. A second problem that we have in missions that we're too peaceful. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that we want to be popular. We want to be liked. We don't like rejection. And so we avoid arguing about religion. We avoid debates. We avoid conflict about Jesus. And because of that, often we don't speak about Jesus because I don't want to cause any waves in the family or my neighbor, so I just won't say anything. Really? You won't say anything about your Jesus whom you say you love because it might cause a little conflict? Or you water it down. I'll just say some simple things that everybody can agree with. I'll water it down. When you water down the gospel, you don't have any gospel at all. Then you've really offended God. But we have this desire more and more, just no conflict, just have peace, let everybody do whatever they want. I don't want to speak up. I don't want to cause any waves. And that leads people to hell. Now, we don't want to go out and be mean to people. We are gentle and loving, but we speak the truth even if it's rejected. And when I read Jesus' words here, he doesn't make it seem like mission work is real peaceful. He says, I send you out as lambs among what? Among wolves. Doesn't sound real nice to be a lamb among wolves. Then he talks about people rejecting you. And he says, if you go to a city and they reject you, he says, wipe the dust off your feet and proclaim a warning to the city. Wow, that's pretty tough. Then he goes on to say, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, woe to you, Capernaum, because you've rejected me. And you'll be judged by God. It'll be worse for you than Tyre and Sidon, who never got to hear the gospel very much. That's pretty tough stuff. That's not real peaceful to warn people about hell and judgment. But the Christian's called to do it to a friend, a family member, a neighbor, a co-worker. And it may cause a little conflict, so be it. That's what we're called to do. It's not always so easy and so peaceful. Now, I read where one thing people in America like about America is that we have all these silly names for various towns in America. And we like that about America. We got all these goofy names. For example, the top of the list of goofy names is Hygiene, Arizona. Now, that's a weird place to live. There's a city called Embarrassed, Colorado. You might be embarrassed to live in Embarrassed, Colorado. There's a city called Peculiar, Missouri. Maybe I should go live there because I'm fairly peculiar. We like variety in names. That's fine. But in the church and before the world, there is one name we proclaim to the world. One name that can save. One name that forgives. one name that leads to heaven, and that name is Jesus. No variety here, not pick your religion. There's one saving name, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose for the salvation of the world. It's that one name we proclaim, and many are going to reject it. So be it. We pray for them, love them, and shake the dust off our feet, and move on to the next city or house or neighbor. God's people got to be tough today. Thirdly, in missions, we are often too proud when we have success. When there are results and we teach and preach and people are baptized and saved and confirmed, we sinners and pastors at the top of the list, we tend to look at the wonderful things that we have done for our Lord. And we tend to pat ourselves on the back and we're a whole lot better than them over there. Ha ha ha. When there's results, pride, ego, we're better. And it appears the disciples have a little bit of that when they get back from this mission trip. He sends them out. It appears they have some success. They have some results. We all like that. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. We're driving out demons. We're saving people. Well, we're baptizing people. Wow, look at this. Well, this is incredible. And the Lord tempers their enthusiasm. He humbles them. And he says at the end, don't rejoice the demons submit to you. Don't rejoice in the things you're doing for me. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You're still a sinner. You deserve hell. I will die and rise for you. I will deliver you and save you. That's what you need to put your joy in, because that always stays the same. I am baptized. I am forgiven every day, saved every day, redeemed every day. I have God's love every day. God is with me every day. That stays the same. Rejoice in that stability of that. Because when you do mission work, you don't always get results. This time, the demons submit in the name of Jesus. Next time, they won't. This time, people believe. Next time, they won't. This time, they're converted. Next time, they're going to kill you. Which happens just about all the 12 disciples. They all go preach, and they don't always have results. They get killed. If you put your joy and your pride in what you're doing, then results is going to go up and then down. What did I do? It was so bad. Why don't people like me in my church? What are they doing over there that's so fantastic? And we want to change everything and monkey with the gospel just so we might find some people out there. Then we're in deep, deep trouble. Pride, ego. You know, I read where cities are competing in America. They're competing over who has the best fireworks. You know who has the best fireworks? I don't know who judges these things, Pat, but somebody does. St. Louis, Missouri. Can we hear it for St. Louis? No, we live in Tennessee, don't we? Sorry. But the fireworks with the arch there and the river, 50 minutes of fireworks, the best in America, they say. Now, Stone Mountain, Georgia, down here, wherever that is, they're second. They have a laser show with fireworks, whatever that is. I don't know. When I watch fireworks, do I just enjoy the fireworks and say, thank God for this land and freedom? No, I always got to judge the... Do you guys judge the fireworks too? That was a great one. Oh, that one's a dud. There's a really good one. Oh, that one's a dud. Well, I was expecting, oh, that one's a dud. And you just judge things. You just can't enjoy it. And we're the same way with the kingdom of God. Oh, they're on fire. Oh, we're a dud. Oh, they're fantastic. Oh, we're a dud. And we judge back and forth. Can we just rejoice when the gospel is faithfully preached and people are saved and do it humbly? So proud and egotistical about things. And then last of all, in missions we have way too many programs. There's program after program after program about how to reach the lost. It's not rocket science. We don't need program after program. We just need people full of the Holy Spirit who live for Christ, love their neighbor, invite people to church, speak of Jesus. Programs don't do it. People full of the Holy Spirit do it. And the Spirit does it through the power of the gospel that we teach. As I read Luke 10, there's not a big program Jesus gives here. 2 by 2, all right, you go with him, you go with him. 2 by 2, go house to house. Is that rocket science? Go to where the people are, all right? House to house and preach peace. One word for the gospel, peace. That describes the whole gospel. We're reconciled to God. Our sins are forgiven because of Christ. God's for us, not against us. We're reconciled. We're justified. We're righteous. Preach that. If they accept it, stay there and teach some more. If they don't, go somewhere else. Not real hard. What the church is called to do. A couple questions I ask people as I get to know them. Here's some questions I ask people that you might ask people. You know, I ask people often, what do you say about Jesus? That's what Jesus asked. Who do you say that I am? So I ask people, what's your relationship like with Jesus? What do you say about Jesus? And then you go from there and teach them who he is, the Son of God who died and rose in forgiveness. And I said, I ask people, are you sure you're going to go to heaven? When you die, you think there's a heaven or a hell? What's your plan when you die? Because you're going to die. And you find out, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven or no, I don't know. You go from there. Then I'll ask, if they think they're going to go to heaven, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? How are you going to get there? And then you go from there. If they say Jesus, you talk about that some, and praise be to God, they have faith in Jesus. If not, then you have a time to talk about Jesus. Some diagnostic questions to figure out someone's faith. You can do that. You don't need to program a manual of 500 pages to do that. It's easy. It's called love for people, interest in people, listening to people, talking to people, being among people that you care and love and worried about their salvation that you want to tell them. That's what it's about. I just got a new son-in-law, a Carter. Do I need a 500-page training manual to talk about Carter today? Now, Megan may give me a 500-page training manual. I don't need a manual. I don't need training. He's my son-in-law. I've known him for 4 years. I can talk about him. He's not some alien from outer space. Is Jesus an alien to us? We don't know who he is. I got to be trained in who he is. Is he part of your family? If you love him as he loves you, he's part of your family. He's your Lord, your Savior, your brother, your King. Can't you talk about him like you talk about your family? Share? Do we care enough about people to do that? Go make disciples. Jesus sends us out to be a light, the salt, his witnesses, and all that we say and do. Don't be too pessimistic. Don't be too peaceful, wanting to be liked all the time. Don't be too proud when something good happens and someone is saved. Give all the credit to God and be humble about it. And don't be too prepared where you need some program. Just go live as a Christian. You're baptized and saved. And go proclaim the saving name. And just go lift high the what? The cross. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.